Let's join our Pastor Randy as he ministers from the sermon, Will My Breakthrough Ever Come?
Greetings, one and all. I'm from the country, Somerset. My mother was a pastor for over 30 years, so I knew right from wrong. I was brought up to serve God, but I chose to go my own way, and I suffered terrible for it. But I thank God that I've had a road to Damascus experience, and I've rededicated my life and my heart to God so that God's will can be done in my life. My name is Brother Randy Lightpool. Join me as I share the Word of God. My topic today is called, Will My Breakthrough Ever Come? God's timing. Will my breakthrough ever come? God's timing. And this is a very personal message because I'm God. Stop. Without getting into my personal stuff. But I have stuff that I'm waiting for a breakthrough for. I'm God prayers. For loved ones that I'm praying for a breakthrough. But will my breakthrough ever come? Time continues to pass on and the circumstances continue to stay the same and even get worse. Will my breakthrough ever come? God's timing. I have a couple key verses that I want to read first of all. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Here begins the reading of the Word of God. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Mercy. And the second one is found in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 and 31. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the old man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. May God add a blessing to the reading of God's precious word. Mercy. I do have one more. Mark chapter 16, verse 19. This is Jesus speaking here. It says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and he sat on the right hand of God. Praise the Lord. After Jesus had done everything he had to do, he was taken up and he was seen by them to be received up into heaven. And then we are told that he went and he sat on the right hand of God. Praise the Lord. This is all to do with our breakthrough and how God's timing goes along with it. Because this subject and topic is very important when you need a breakthrough and when you're going through issues and you're waiting for some breakthrough in your life. This is the type of word from God that you're going to need as you're waiting for this breakthrough and you're trying to remain subject and hopeful as you wait on God's timing. I have 2 points that I want to use to bring it out. Point one says, the way it looks, feeling forgotten. I'm waiting for my breakthrough, but the way it looks, sometimes I'm feeling forgotten. Point two, waiting on your breakthrough, God's timing. When you're literally waiting on this breakthrough, waiting on God's timing so that it doesn't overwhelm you. Let's see how the Holy Spirit is going to bring this forward. Let's go to point number one. Point one, the way it looks, feeling forgotten. And I'm going to bring out some scriptures that deal with some extraordinary circumstances that some people face. But in each of these scriptures, you can put your own situation in there, whatever it is, whatever your challenge is, whatever that breakthrough you're waiting for, some health issue, some cancer or something that the doctor says you have, a financial issue, a relationship issue, praying for your children. But you're waiting for this breakthrough from God. But when I physically look at it, what I'm going through, I can't help but feel like I'm forgotten sometimes because it's been going on for a while. How do we manage ourselves in the midst of these circumstances? Let's look at Judges chapter 11 again and verses 1 to 3. Now, Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah, and Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tur. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. I've mentioned these two circumstances here to highlight. Sometimes your life may seem like you are suffering with complete bad luck. Some of these sayings go that if I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck. But this is how it appears. Even for men and women of God, it just seems like nothing's working out for me. And it's just continuously bad things happen. Jephthah can't help his circumstances because he's just a child born into a situation where his father had sex outside of his marriage to a prostitute, and she bare him a son. Because he wasn't Gilead's wife's son, when her sons got older, his legitimate children got older, they didn't want nothing to do with Jephthah. And they banished him from out of the house. They said that you're not going to get no part of our father's inheritance because you're some strange woman's child. He didn't know how to handle the situation. These are his brothers. They don't want nothing to do with him. So he goes into this strange land called Tur. Everybody knows who he is. He's a roughneck. It weren't nothing soft about this guy when you read in between the lines. He ran to Tur, and all the roughnecks in that area just gravitated to him and started to put him as their leader. But his family wanted nothing to do with him. He was an outcast. Then we look at the story of Mephibosheth, who is King Saul's grandson, is living his life. And then he gets word, or his nurse gets word, that his daddy and his grandfather, the king, have just been killed in war. So the nurse grips him up and starts to run with him to try to protect him. And he falls and his leg becomes lame. And from that point on, he is crippled. Fatherless, no grandfather, from a position of the king's house to no income, to nothing. I'm saying all these things to try to get you to be realistic in imagining yourself in these types of circumstances. When everything looks like you're truly got bad luck, my life is just going to pieces. Nothing is working out for me. I'm not made choices that are bought this on. Sometimes we can make some choices that'll put us in these same circumstances. But I'm talking about when you're living right, you're making the best choices, and this becomes your life. Mephibosheth is 5 years old. Jephtha is just a brother to these guys who don't want nothing to do with him. But in that moment, it feels like y'all got no luck. Like everything is going against you. Let's look at John chapter 9, because I want to highlight some different circumstances so we can really start to take ourselves, those of us that are blessed, that are not in none of these circumstances, to see, because we may face these circumstances at some point in our lives. Scripture says that all who will live godly shall suffer some form of persecution, will have challenges in their life. We know through Scripture that challenges are part of our makeup to build us and to shape us into what God would have us to be. Why not exempt from some of these circumstances? But I want to show you, and I want you to put yourself in a position to imagine what it's like for these people when they're looking for a breakthrough. John 9, verses 1 and 2 says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth, never, ever had sight. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, mercy, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? We know of people that, you know, go blind, but this guy was born blind. So they immediately start to put these sort of stigmas on you. And I want you to understand that people are still doing that today. When they see people going through stuff, they put stigmas on them. They must be doing something wrong. God must be punishing them. But I want to highlight to you today in these circumstances that none of this stuff was because of something that they done wrong. But in these situations, this guy is born blind. Let's look at Acts chapter 3 and verses 1 to 3. It says, now Peter and John ran up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame, listen to this again, lame from his mother's womb, born this way, and he was carried to that place, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Every day they brought him there. People at least cared about him enough to put him in a place where he could beg for help. Let's put ourselves in this position. None of us are being carried to a place just so we could beg somebody else for help. He was born this way. He ain't made no choices to get himself in this hell. He ain't done nothing that we could attribute that he's done sin. To ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, when he seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked an alms. He asked him, those guys, for some type of financial help because this guy was crippled from birth. Man, it's been so long that y'all been in this situation. Man, it's been so long I'm a time. Hold on a second. Before we go there, let's look at Ecclesiastes 3:1, because I want to remind us about the reality of time and how it does work. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. We must keep this in mind, especially in light of these two scriptures I read. The first one is of a guy that's born blind. He's a full-grown man now and is at the temple begging for support because he can't take care of himself. Peter and John are going to the temple and they find this other one that's been arrested by his family and friends outside of the temple so that he could beg people for support. We see it sometimes when we go into stores or we're going through town, you'll see people who, for whatever reasons, are in a position where they are begging. Some of them probably really don't need to beg, but they choose it as a way to support drug addicts. You see a lot of drug addicts doing this. This is a whole different level. When you are physically incapable of supporting yourself because you're blind. In Peter and James's case, this guy was born crippled from his mother's womb. I want you to know, when it's been so long a time in your situation, that you have known and all you have known has been hardship. When you have been in that position like that for so long and everything you know is just hardship, how do you manage it? How does these guys manage it? It's hard for us to try to really understand this, but we have to step back from our comfort zone and imagine being born blind and taken to this place that's called a temple so that you can just beg. Being born crippled and in such a state of hardship. I don't know how many times these guys may have prayed for help and for healing. But what we see is that they are grown men that were born into these situations. We come into situations sometimes. It might be something that the doctor tells us, something that our boss tells us, something that our spouse tells us, and that shapes our lives in a completely devastating way. But these hardships devastate us. And when they stay that way for a long period of time, how do you manage it? How do you continue to stay positive when you're praying and you're looking for a breakthrough? Years from birth, both of these cases, one's blind, one's crippled from birth. Take yourself out of your comfort zones right now and imagine this. I'm sure they were praying for a breakthrough. In the midst of praying for this breakthrough, the only thing they had left to do was to beg for some type of financial support to be able to take care of themselves. I'm talking about real hardship. And you're praying for a breakthrough from God. Let's look at John chapter 7, verses 3-6, and then verse 30. It says, his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea. This is Jesus. When I say his brethren, this is Jesus' birth brothers. This is Mary's other children. And so these are Jesus' half-brothers. And they're saying to Jesus, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe. Scriptures tell you that his brothers didn't really believe Jesus to be who he was. They did not believe in him. Verse 6 says, then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. This is in verse 30 here. It's not talking about his brothers. Brothers are not trying to take care of him. The Pharisees and the Jewish leaders are seeking to take a hold of Jesus. But this verse says that no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. Jesus said to his brothers, my time is not yet come. I'm emphasizing here timing. Timing is very important, especially when you're waiting for your breakthrough, especially when you're going through stuff and you've got your idea that it needs to get fixed right now. It needs to have been fixed yesterday. Let's look at John chapter 10. John 10 verses 17 and 18. It says, therefore, though my Father loved me, because I laid on my life that I might take it again. Jesus speaking here. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus, in letting people know, those guys knew, that I'm doing what I'm doing because I'm an obedient servant of God. I'm God's son, and I have the power to lay my life down or to resist it. Nobody is making stuff happen in my life. Nobody is controlling my life. What am I highlighting here? Jesus is letting them know that he is in control. And it's important that we remember this, because we may face stuff in our lives where we will wonder. God forbid, but it may happen. We may wonder if God is really knowing what's going on in your life. Some people are in this place right now, and they need to know that no matter how bad it seems, no man is taking God's life. No man is taking Jesus' life. Jesus laid it down. Jesus was in full control. He made it happen the way he wanted it to happen. And no matter what you're facing today in your life, Jesus, that same Jesus, is in full control. Look at John chapter 12 and verse 23. And Jesus answering them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. This is just highlighting Jesus being in control of his circumstances as he gets ready to face this crucifixion, as he gets ready to be put to death. He sends his disciples to set up the upper room. He sets up for them to have a place to have the Passover supper. He tells Judas, what you're going to do, go and do it quickly. Fish are caught bait. This is your last chance to go and do what you got to do. He let Judas know that he knew he had to do it and that he was going to do it. And he's forcing Judas to go and do it now, because Jesus was controlling when he was to be crucified. Jesus, when you read it, you'll find that the Pharisees did not want Jesus to be crucified, to be killed on the Passover. They didn't want it. But Jesus forced their hand so that he would fulfill scripture by being the Passover lamb. He made them kill him on Passover day. I'm saying that no matter what you're facing in your life, Jesus is always in control of your situation. Whatever you face, Jesus is in control of it. That last one in John 12 says that afterwards, Jesus said, this is my time. I'm ready. We are going to face suffering and then reigning. Jesus ran through that process. He had to suffer his cross experience and then his resurrection reigning. We need to keep this in our minds because sometimes God will have you go through a suffering Calvary situation. We want the glory of the resurrection. Cool, that's all right. We can want it. But first comes suffering sometimes. Sometimes we're going to suffer. Scripture says that, listen, those that suffer with Christ are going to reign with Christ. But the key thing you need to remember that in all what you face and all what you're going up against is God's timing that makes the difference. And God will keep you in the midst of all that you're going through. These guys that were born blind, born crippled, spent most of their lives suffering, God kept them. For all those years, God kept them. Let's look at point number two. Point number two is going to deal with waiting on your breakthrough. And the waiting is based on God's timing. Because we're going to look at the fact that when we deal with some of these issues that I spoke of earlier, nowhere that they got forewarning that their breakthrough was coming. They kept plugging along. The blind guy kept coming out every day and doing his best in his circumstances. He didn't dwell on the negativity of his situation, though it was real. He was trying to do his best with his situation, and God knew it. But it was a time for him to be healed. It was a time for everything. Ecclesiastes says, every single thing that's under this heaven is a time for it. I've got a beautiful great niece right now that's hitting the time for her to start getting teeth. So it's a teething time. And when you watch children grow up, they have to hit these different phases, but it's all based on a time process. Max should be learning to crawl and then walk. But everything is a timing for it. And God said, everything that's under heaven, there is a timing. And whatever's going on in your life that may seem overwhelming and you're looking for a breakthrough, know that God's timing is always right. It's always perfect. Though he may suffer long, it's always right on time. And this is what I want everyone to really get a grasp of. Because if you're not in it, you're not exempt from the fact that you may face it. If not today, if not tomorrow, whenever. Whenever your suffering period comes, whenever your Calvary experience comes that causes you to need a breakthrough, you need to know that God's timing is always right. And he'll bring you through, though it's hard, between the suffering and the reigning, it can be very hard and overwhelming. But if you've got your eyes on God and you're trusting in God's timing, he'll bring you through it. Let's look at Luke chapter 4 and verses 18 and 19. This is Jesus speaking here. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Those of us that know this scripture will also know that Jesus is in the temple reading from Isaiah. That is a quote from Isaiah, talking about what the Messiah would do. And Jesus is saying that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because I'm been anointed to go out to preach the gospel to the poor, to do healing, and to preach deliverance so that blind people can get their sight. So this is what it is, what you're watching right now. Jesus is saying, this is that time. This is God's timing in process. Look at Psalms 27 and verse 14. It says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Mercy. God will strengthen you if you wait on him. Psalms 30 verse 5 says, for his anger endured but a moment. In his favor is life. The weeping experience you may endure is for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. All these are some beautiful, elegant, scriptural ways of saying that there is a time for everything. There will come a time when Jesus will say, it's time for your breakthrough. We don't have the luxury to know it. None of these guys knew it. Jesus gets up in the temple and reads to them Isaiah and letting them know that this prophecy about the Messiah is right in front of you. It's your time right now. But in the midst of it, we need to take a Psalms 27 and a Psalms 30 mindset. That those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Weeping. And this hardship you're going through is for the night, but joy is going to come in the morning. It's a process. Nights don't last forever. Mornings will come. And the psalmist says, joy comes in the morning. Those of you that are facing circumstances that are waiting for breakthroughs in your life, joy is coming in the morning. Through every night, there is a morning. Nights don't last forever. Scripture is letting you know that you're going to go through it. God will bring you through it. Just keep waiting on him. Keep trusting in God. Everything has its purpose in your life. Whatever you're going through, keep trusting God, because joy is going to come through in the morning. Jesus will say, it's time for your breakthrough. It's time for your blessing. It's time for your healing. He allows these things for a season. For everything, it's a purpose. We may not see the purpose in the moment, but if we stay with God through the circumstances, God will reveal, as he gives you that breakthrough, why you had to go through it, how it benefits you, how it benefits somebody else, how it benefits the kingdom of God. We are servants of God. We're going to have to suffer. We're going to have to go through some stuff, but we need to know that when we're going through whatever we're going through, we're keeping our trust in God, because God will give us a breakthrough. We're just going to wait on God's timing. Look at John chapter 12 again, and look at verse 27. This is Jesus. He says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. I came in the world for this hour. So what do I say? God, you know, don't let me go through it. Jesus is indicating that sometimes you've got to go through it. You can't get around it. Jesus goes on later in the Garden of Gethsemane and says, look, God. He knew exactly what he was going to go through. And he said, Lord, if it's any other way, I know it's got to be done, but if it's any other way, then let it be. If not, let thy will be done. Jesus says that my soul's troubled, but I can't get away from it. So I'm submitting myself to God, because I've been put in her for this purpose. Whatever you are going through in your life and you're serving God and it's on your plate, it's for you. Don't try to run from it. It's for you. God will bring you through it. It's not going to be easy. The suffering of Calvary is not an easy experience. That's why Jesus says, my soul is troubled, because it's not easy, but it can be done. Praise the Lord. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. It says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. This is Paul speaking about this thorn in his flesh. This physical illness, this physical problem. He said, I prayed to God three times. This is a man that his handkerchiefs were touching people and healing people. He raised two people from the dead. He healed all types of people. He had the power of God all in his life. And he said, I asked God three times to take away this heaviness in my life. I asked three times for my breakthrough. This is what we face as children of God. Paul ain't done some sin that's caused this. Paul was a mighty man of God. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. What? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. Key word there is to renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When you're facing your Calvary experience, when you're facing your crucifixion experience, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But yet not I, but it's Christ that is living within me. Sometimes God calls for us to go through some stuff, but he's telling us we've got to wait on him in these experiences. Yeah, you can pray about them, you can seek God in them, but you trust God to bring you through them. Paul cried out three times. Sometimes we just got to embrace them and let God work it out for us. Sometimes we have to embrace our sufferings as we know it's God's plan for us. Because we're keeping in mind that God is in control of whatever he's allowing in my space. I'm in right standing with God. I'm not in this situation because I'm doing wrong, because I'm going wrong, because I'm doing stuff that I shouldn't do. This is stuff that God has born or allowed to come into my life. If God's allowed some suffering to come into your life, it's got a breakthrough for you. It's a reason. Ecclesiastes says everything, it's a reason. We don't always get the answer. Nowhere in that scripture, the answer was clear to Paul right away. Paul says, I prayed three times. In the end, God said that, listen, don't worry about it. My grace is sufficient. You are still in my favor despite these thorns in your flesh. Despite the breakthrough that you're waiting for in your life, you're still in God's favor. He says, just wait on him. Joy is going to come in the morning. God's timing is always perfect. If I don't have my breakthrough right now, it's only because it ain't time for it. So I have to dig deep. I have to stay in the word of God so I can mount up with wings like an eagle, so I can run and not get weary. I'm going to stay in God's word. I'm going to keep my trust in God, because the only reason I don't have my breakthrough, it's not time yet. It's time for me to suffer. It's time for me to go through some stuff. As I go through it, I know that I'm in God's will. I know that I'm in God's timing. And I know that I'm going to run and not get weary. I'm going to be able to even just if I'm walking, I'm not going to faint. I'm going to make it through this experience. Look at Judges. This is my last group of scriptures. Judges chapter 11. We're going to look at Jephthah again, verses 6 and 7 and then 9 and 10. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and spare me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when you are in distress? What's that got to do with me? You guys abandoned me. The main thing that we want to continue to keep in our mind is that sometimes we got to go through some stuff that doesn't make sense. And in this scripture that I was just reading concerning Jephthah, is confronted by the elders of Gilead when they find themselves in a position of war. They come crying back to the guy that they kicked out. So I called him back now, asking him to help them in their time of need. Let me read verse 9. Says, and Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight again the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. Praise the Lord. This is his breakthrough. This is him getting recognized by his family and the elders of his community that they need him. He was living his life as an outcast, wondering why this happened to him. And God created another circumstance in their lives so that he could be redeemed, so that he would have his breakthrough. And I use this circumstance and I use this storyline because it was no way for Jephthah to even anticipate how he could ever get his breakthrough. His family wants nothing to do with him. He's hanging with a bunch of outcasts. But God will find a way to restore you back to where he would have you to be. God will hear your cry. And your breakthrough will come. And it doesn't mean that you're going to have any idea how God will work it out. But we serve a God that will always bring you through your circumstances. Let's look at Acts chapter 3, verses 6 to 9. It says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. All these years you've been crippled from your mother's womb. All these years you've been sitting outside this temple, begging people. Okay? Verse 7 says, and he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up, and immediately, all these years, he's outside the temple. Immediately, his feet and his ankle bones receive strength. He starts to mount up, okay, with wings of an eagle. And he leaping. This is instant healing now. Has never walked. Verse 8 says, he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. Normally, he stayed outside the temple and just begged for money. He goes into the temple walking and leaping and praising God for his breakthrough. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. He becomes a living witness. I need to emphasize this because remember where he is. Remember what time this is. This is Peter and John going to the temple right after Jesus had left. Right after Jesus had gone into heaven and they had done the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. This is within weeks, days and weeks. This temple, that verse said earlier that this guy was born from his mother's womb, lame. Remember this. He stood outside there because his friends and his family took him and carried him and put him outside their temple. Just so that you understand that God's timing is perfect. Whenever you read through the scriptures on the New Testament of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and the accounts of Jesus, how many times did Jesus go into the temple? How many times did Jesus walk past this guy who sat at that temple? Many times. All through the scripture, you see in there that Jesus went to the temple. That scripture says that they daily brought him to their temple. I want you to know that Jesus walked across them many times, knowing that your time is coming. Peter and James are going to heal you. You keep coming here. You keep sitting here. I can heal you now, but it ain't your time. You need to be healed by Peter and James so that they will let you know where the power is coming from. I say all that to let you know that God's timing is always perfect. God could have been healed him. Jesus walked across him all the while. For those whole 3 years, Jesus went to the temple. Scripture said that he was brought there daily, seeking to be to get alms, seeking to get some type of help. When Jesus walked across him and smiled every day, Jesus was healing people all around him. His timing was not yet. God's timing is perfect. When he does get healed, scripture says he's up, jumping, leaping, and praising God. He's not sulking for how long it took. He's praising God because his breakthrough came through. Let's look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 19. Mark 16 and 19 says, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God." I put that scripture there to remind us that this is after Jesus has been through his suffering experience. After he's been through Calvary. After he has suffered beyond our measure. His breakthrough is finished. Has accomplished what he had to do. And then he is taken up into heaven and he sits right now on the right hand of God. It's a time for everything. And as you face it, your breakthrough is coming. Stay in God's timetable. Your breakthrough is coming. Just stay in God's timetable. As you suffer for him and with him, you will reign with God also. Any suffering that we go through in this life, as children of God, we realize that God is in control of it. And if we're suffering, God is allowing it. God continues to allow it. The guy at the temple sat there for 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry, and Jesus never healed him. He was healing people outside the temple, around the corner from the temple, even inside the temple. And this guy was sitting outside waiting to be healed. Ecclesiastes says there is a time for everything. No matter what you're facing today, God is in control of it. No matter how bad it looks, how hard it seems, if you find yourself needing a breakthrough, keep looking to God. Keep waiting on God. Joy is going to come in the morning when your morning is coming. Nobody and nothing is happening to you that God is not aware of. God may walk past you some days, some weeks, some months, some years. But sooner or later, he's going to tell you that this is your breakthrough. And he'll use whatever circumstances he needs. We will probably never begin to imagine how God could give us our breakthrough. We sit down and imagine what our breakthrough what might look like and how it might happen. But most of the time, we would never be able to imagine how God is going to bring it through. But God will bring you through whatever you're facing in life. He just says, bring it to me. He just says, cast your cares upon me. He just says, trust me in these circumstances. He just says, wait on me and I will fix it. Today, if you're facing anything, if you need a breakthrough in your life, keep looking to Jesus. He's passing by, and sooner or later, he's going to reach over and tell you it's time for you to pick up your bed and start walking. It's time for your breakthrough. Keep trusting God in no matter what you're facing in life. Don't worry about what they're saying about you. They may be saying that you're sinning or your parents sinning or it's a curse or whatever. They don't know. They don't need to know. You need to wait on God and know that you're living right and that you're living by faith, and your breakthrough will come because God's timing is always perfect. And after it's done, the guy that was carried to that temple every day could not even imagine no more what it was like to be sitting on that ground, because he's too busy running, leaping, and praising God. He had a whole new lease on life. He had a spiritual breakthrough. He had a physical breakthrough. His healing was complete. Jephthah never imagined that he would be back with his family, much less be in a position of prestige where he was in charge of the whole of Israel. We don't know how God's going to make our breakthrough come through. He just says, trust him. Trust him. I will fix it. When Job was sitting down picking sores, and his wife was saying, listen, you might as well cross the board and die. Job kept waiting on God. He never imagined that he would get double what he lost. God's timing is always perfect. Let that be your comfort as you face any types of situations where you need a breakthrough from God. You're praying for stuff. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep waiting on God so you can mount up with wings of an eagle, so that you can run and not get weary, walk and not faint. It's here for us. We have this victory. And no matter what we face in life, I take the position that I'm going to wait on God. My joy is coming. Nights are not forever. God will bless me, and I will reign with God after I have suffered for him and with him. Today, saints, I encourage you, whatever you're facing, keep the mind that I will stand on God's word and know that God is in control. It's a time for everything. And if God has got me suffering, as sure as Paul cried out three times, asking God to take away his situation, God heard him. But God's timing is always perfect. He told his brothers, listen, you guys' time is always, it's not my time yet. Don't try to influence me to do what I don't have to do. Don't let nobody try to influence you to try to make stuff happen that you don't have to worry about making happen. Take the position, I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to keep trusting God no matter what man thinks and what it looks like to them. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that God is in control. And that's got to be your rock. That's got to be your anchor. That's got to be your foundation as you face whatever you face in this world. This is what God has laid on my heart. I pray that something I've said continues to resonate with your spirit and bring you to a place that you're going to say, no matter what I face, my life is in his hands and I'm going to wait on him. God's timing is perfect. He knows exactly what is doing. He makes no mistakes. No matter how many times he might walk past you, no matter how many times he goes across that temple, he knows when your timing is. Keep your trust in God today. I want to take this opportunity also to reach out to anyone that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This is my opportunity to give you your opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior so that you can understand what it means to wait on God and to trust God's timing. This may be your timing right now, but you have to answer that call, not from me. The call that the Holy Spirit is doing right now. And if that Holy Spirit is calling you to surrender your life, you are ready. Make the leap of faith and trust God. Repeat these words after me if this is where you are at. Father God, I realize that I am a sinner. God, I realize that I need you in my life. Lord, I realize that you died, suffered, and rose again so that I can be saved and set free from sin. God, I repent of my sinful ways. Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for healing me of my sins. Thank you, God, for salvation. Praise the Lord. If that's been your desire today, know that God has heard your cry. Know that God has healed you from that sinful nature. And that from this point on, you have eternal life. Reach out to the numbers, emails, the points of information so that we can continue to seed into your life spiritually and encourage you in your walk with God. God has a plan for your life. Trust him in it. If it's anyone that has or feels that they have drifted away from God, God is always here. God is always waiting for you to turn back to him, to rededicate your life to God, to confess your faults, and to renew your walk with him so that he can take you to the next levels in your spiritual walk. This is your opportunity right now. Praise the Lord. I thank God once again for this opportunity to bring forth a word, and I pray that the word continues to be of an encouragement to you, as it is doing to me even now. I pray God's blessings and his protection of you as he continues to reveal who he is to you. In Jesus' name, God bless.